listening to Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Welcome to New Earth Kids, a radio show featuring kids who care about their community and the environment in which they live. On this monthly show, kids of all ages talk about the challenges facing planet Earth, and we tell you how we are creating and implementing solutions. New Earth Kids is part of the Kindred Continuum series and airs the third Monday of the month at 10 a.m. and is replayed on the air the following Sunday at 4 p.m. New Earth Kids is produced by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's Youth Empowerment Program, Thinking on a Mountain, for Gila Membres Community Radio. Thinking on a Mountain equips kids with the knowledge and skills to navigate an uncertain future while addressing climate justice issues. And now, New Earth Kids.
As much as people have disagreements about it, they should recognize, even if they aren't supportive of transgender people or queer people in general, that a stripping of anyone's rights leaves the opportunity open for anyone else's rights to also be stripped away.
Welcome to New Earth Kids. I'm your host, Nan Franzblau. Today we go to Aldo Leopold High School to talk to seniors in their government class. Throughout the year, students and teacher Pete Rankin have engaged in ongoing discussions about current events and how a new president's administration is reshaping life in America. As they prepare to graduate, students open up and share issues that are important to them, how some of these issues will affect them in the future, and possible paths to solutions. And now, New Earth Kids.
Thanks for tuning in to New Earth Kids. Today, we're on the campus of Aldo Leopold High School, visiting with seniors, all who are enrolled in government class. And thanks for having me, you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, and thanks to Pete Rankin, the teacher, for inviting me in. Let's go around first, and please say your name and tell us what is the most important issue to you right now.
My name is Lucy, and the most important issue, I think, is human rights violations.
My name is Caesar, and the most important issue to me right now is freedom of speech, information, and press, specifically regarding scientific communities and organizations.
My name is Faith, and the biggest issue to me at the moment would be the state of our economy coupled with the protection of basic human rights.
My name is Deidre Nebetha, and as mentioned before, my biggest concern is basic human rights and our economy.
My name is Junior Casaus, and I think my biggest issue and concern is our community feeling safe and secure.
My name is Addy. I think that the biggest concern I have right now is the attacks that we're facing to our Constitution.
My name is Judas, and I think that the biggest issue right now is probably the continued Western descent into fascism and authoritarianism.
My name is Sal, and I think the biggest issue right now is climate change.
Thanks, guys. Wow, those are some big issues. So thank you for sharing that. It seems like a lot of you are concerned about human rights. So maybe let's start there. How are people's human rights being violated? And how do you see this impacting you or people you know or your community?
Right now, I wouldn't say that I'm super well-versed on, you know, modern political events, so I'm not going to act like I know that everything I'm saying is completely factual and definitely probably take some of it with a grain of salt, but I feel I represent the average teenager's knowledge on modern political issues, so other teenagers might have heard the same thing. I have heard talk about immigrants getting deported without trial into El Salvador, even when they did not commit any crimes, which is a clear violation of our Constitution. Everyone has the right to a fair trial. So that's definitely one way that human rights are being violated, and that is easily transferable into other situations. And I think if we don't speak up about it now, then it could easily be transferred to maybe the community you're in or like your ethnicity or whatnot. It's kind of similar to one of the quotes from the Holocaust, where I don't know the exact quote, but it was similar, where it was like, at first they came for the Jews, but I was not Jewish, so I did not speak up. And then they came for so-and-so, and I did not speak up, until they came for you and there was no one left to speak up for you. So I think it could very well transfer into something like that. So I think we should speak up about it now. And other ways would be, there's a lot of talk about transgender issues as well. And I think one of the main issues for me that has always been a bother to me is I don't think that there is enough separation of church and state in our government at the moment. I think there's way too much push of certain religions. And I understand that some people disagree with certain religions, but I do not think that that should be forced in our government. I think people should have the right to what they want, even if it goes against your religion, because your religion is not the government.
Going off what Faith was talking about, people getting deported without trial, I think this creates a sense of fear in our communities. Like, there's a ton of people here who come from different places, and I think that this creates just that sense of instability. Like, you're not stable. You have the possibility of going through that, which is probably traumatizing and just scary.
My worries on human rights are more organizational in standing, because Trump has set a couple of standards for scientists and anything that's federally funded, limiting the research that we can provide, and even having research changed specifically towards gender right now. And it makes it very difficult for scientists, and as an aspiring scientist, if things like that go through, then it will, you know, it's not just going to be gender studies. It's going to be anything that he doesn't really like, and it's going to be a control over the information, and that's not good at all. Obviously, there are certain people and organizations, and even like colleges, Ivy League colleges like Oxford, are fighting against that and are under threat of losing federal funding for not wanting to censor their information. But it's a very big concern for the scientific community and any educational organization as a whole for this to be a current issue right now.
I think that in general, there is a large attack on civil rights and human rights across the board, but especially, as someone else mentioned earlier, with queer rights, a lot of people are like really under attack. For example, there's bills being passed in Texas trying to make any hormone or gender-affirming surgeries illegal for like even adults, which is just a crazy stripping of people's bodily autonomy. Especially adults should be able to do kind of whatever they want or feel like. And I think that as much as people have disagreements about it, they should recognize, even if they aren't supportive of transgender people or queer people in general, that a stripping of anyone's rights leaves the opportunity open for anyone else's rights to also be stripped away.
That's a really good point. And I'm wondering, why does the government care? Why do they care about people's gender preference or sexual preference?
Well, I think that a lot of it is control. And whenever people don't like the unknown, like, as much as people want to say it's an ingrained human response to have fear of the unknown, which it is, we're also rational beings that are able to separate that with tons of other things and have throughout history. So I think a lot of it, at least, maybe less so for the government, but with people in day-to-day lives who are not accepting of this people, it is like comes from a lack of understanding and from knowledge of those people and their lived experiences. Because, I mean, this is true of, you know, every civil rights fight, where if people are dehumanized and they're made out to be some kind of boogeyman, which a lot of, especially with trans feminine people, is a really huge thing, where people are like, oh, we shouldn't let trans femme people into women's restrooms, even though that's their gender identity and how they present, because they're all rapists and predators, when all of that is fear-mongering and there's little to no actual evidence of anything like that occurring. And I think a lot of it just comes from a lack of being willing to understand and actually listen to other people and their experiences.
Yeah, I definitely think that a lot of it is not only control, but generalized prejudice from people in high power. If the president doesn't like the LGBTQ community, and a large amount of the Supreme Court and cabinet don't like the LGBTQ community, you're going to get laws passed that will severely harm them, because it's then within their agenda to make sure that the LGBTQ community is under fire. And it's pretty problematic, because especially if things are allowed to go through, it would set things up law-wise in like a case-by-case basis, where lawyers can use that one exception to then make it a rule of law. And so a simple prejudice, just not liking someone because they're different, can lead to disastrous results in law and high power places.
You are listening to KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and on the web at gmcr.org. This is New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series on Gila Membres Community Radio. Today, we're talking to students in the Aldo Leopold High School Senior Government class as they share their thoughts about current events and what matters most to them. Let's return to our conversation on New Earth Kids.
Junior mentioned concerns about safety in our community. How can we feel safer in our community?
This is Junior. So I'm not too sure on how to make the community feel safer, but some things I was talking to some people about is just coming closer together as a community and talking about the issues. That's a first step in the right direction. And implement like safe havens for the people that need help, but in a safer environment. Because like where I live, there's a lot of people that make the social aspect of our neighborhood kind of scary. And nobody likes to go outside and ride bikes. Nobody plays at the parks anymore. Nobody feels safe anymore. So I think coming together as a community to address these issues, that'll be a good step in the right direction.
This is Ethan. I think that there's a big role that social media plays in the safety of communities, and especially just the connectivity that phones allow us to have has a huge impact on actual physical connectivity in communities. I know me personally, I have been making a lot less plans just in person. I'll communicate with friends a lot less, and it's taken place more over cell phone or just that kind of communication. I think that has taken a deep root in a lot of communities, where you have the mayor, the government, who issues these general statements out over social media, and that removes that sort of community aspect where people would gather around the town hall for citywide meetings, and you would just get to talk to people about issues. And I think that that also has a massive impact on people's perception of modern political polarization. I think the actual polarizing effect has been magnified massively by social media and these news outlets who make a massive profit off of pretty much just shock clicks and stuff. So I think that a massive thing that we can do that would change for the better our communities is just really pressuring people to attend these town hall meetings and attend meetings in the community.
I live in Cliff, and at least from my perspective, I think something that would help a lot is, or something that's a large problem in terms of like community engagement is like lack of infrastructure. Like there's not a lot of
third spaces in town as well, but especially like out in Cliff. And there's a few parks, but they're not super well maintained, and there's no like sidewalks or anything like that. Like, there's just not a ton of attention being put to stuff like that, and like youth programs and just stuff for people to do. And there's definitely been over the past few years like a shift to improve that, and there has been like slowly more stuff happening out that way. Like, they've started doing a farmer's market out there as well, which is really cool, but it's also like super early in the mornings on a weekday, and so not a lot of people can go. And so I think that just like, I don't know, more infrastructure towards community building and just more community-based events and stuff would probably help a lot, at least out there. And I don't know, I think a lot of it overall is just like a lack of third spaces, which is, if you're unfamiliar with the concept, is just like a place that is not work or home. And there's totally places like that here in town, but you know, most of them are not like free, you know, they're like coffee shops or restaurants, and that's not super available for everyone. And there's parks and stuff, but again, they're not always super well maintained, or people are worried about just stuff going on like trash and whatnot. So
community building is one way to implement change. Are there any other ways to bring about change or to motivate other people? Are you guys 18 yet? Yeah. Did anybody vote in the last election? Yeah.
2 days out.
A few people voted. Was anyone 18 who didn't vote? Okay. It's okay if you did. It's okay. I'm just wondering, why are some young people discouraged from voting?
I think some young people are discouraged from voting because it is kind of, I wouldn't say drilled into your head, but people say a lot of the times that younger people don't really know what they're talking about. I've experienced this myself personally. This is Faith, by the way. Sorry, I keep forgetting. So I think a lot of young people have been told that they don't really know what they're talking about, or that they wouldn't know, you know, what's actually going on, because, you know, a lot of young people don't take the time to go to news outlets. I don't most of the time. You know, I just see kind of what I see on TikTok. But I think, you know, if you're a voting citizen, you should definitely do a little research into the policies and the factual evidence said by said candidates. But I think a lot of the times it's just kind of drilled into your head that you don't really know what you're talking about, or that you haven't paid enough taxes to really know anything about the economy or how this would affect you or things like that. So I think a lot of the times it would be almost like gatekept, kind of, that you actually are allowed to have an opinion on your government, because I think a lot of it is just like, you're young, you know, you haven't really experienced many of the laws and stuff like that, because you're mostly under your parents' own laws in your home. So a lot of times it's just, I think a lot of it's just the expectation that young people are naive and that they wouldn't know. So that kind of discourages them from getting out, speaking their opinion and voting.
Hi, this is Dee. I think another part is that I feel like the voting process isn't really talked about so much. And at first when I was like, oh, I have to vote, I was like, oh, I have to vote. Like, I wanted to vote, but I was like, oh, I didn't know how to do it. And I didn't know how long it was going to take, but it was like really simple, really easy. So I think that maybe talking about that more would encourage younger people to vote. So I think just them like being like, oh, it's like a hassle to go vote, is one of the reasons why younger people are discouraged to vote.
I think a lot of young people also don't feel like, at least in terms of presidential elections, that their votes really matter. I mean, a lot of the, there's been several times over the years where public majority has voted for one president, but the Electoral College has had a different president win. And I think that's really discouraging for a lot of people. And I think that a lot of young people, because they've seen this happen so many times and have heard so much about the Electoral College and the voting process and how unfair it is at times, it discourages a lot of people from wanting to vote or feeling like their vote is actually doing anything in the system.
What is the role of the press in our society?
I believe that the role of the press in our society would be to get out factual, real information to the general public. I think recently, in the previous years and even now, there's a lot of misinformation from the press. And I think one of the issues that I always used to think about is that a lot of the older generations are used to having reliable news sources that would produce unbiased, somewhat factual evidence about what was going on. But now they probably never had a class in school like we have where it's like, is this a reliable source? They're used to having reliable sources, so they're not used to looking for things that could be unreliable, which I think can lead them to believe a lot of misleading information. So I think it's important for the press, and also the press can help with uncovering things. I think part of the press's duty is to go where they don't want them to be. Like, there's a man from the NMSU radio in here the other day, and we were talking to him, and he said that usually the best stories come when the press or the journalists can get where they don't want you to be, and there's a reason why they don't want you to be there. But I think it is the job of the press to get that information out, because a lot of the times there's a reason why it's hidden, and it's probably important for people to know. So, and freedom of speech.
I definitely think that the news should be there to find and uncover like factual information that the public should know and share it. But there has been issues, especially within my like time generation, however small that is, where news organizations care more about viewership and the money they bring in than they do care about factual information. So they would get a story and it would be too mundane even if that was the truth. And so they would twist words and they would make it so that you feel a certain way and spark all these things. And now it's no longer true, but now they're getting all so much more views and all that. But it's a horrible thing for a organization that people believe is telling them true stuff to intentionally twist words just so they can get more viewership. And it's a horrible epidemic that's happening.
How do you know if a source is reliable? And I'm wondering where you guys get your news. What source do you use besides this class?
A lot of us have discussed that we get news from things that pop up on our phone, like Washington Post or other social media outlets like TikTok or Instagram. So some things that we see, we know aren't too reliable. But as we've been through class, Pete has shown us multiple graphs from like left wing to right wing and what is reliable and what can be biased. So it goes from like what can be biased to what is reliable, up and down top graph, I guess you could say. So of course there's multiple of us get news from different places.
The way that you determine if a news source is reliable is generally by comparing what they set out report-wise to what other news organizations set out. And there are some that are going to be obviously more biased towards left-wing or right-wing. And you can generally tell, and you could even search up the news reporters to determine that, because it's generally in their like description whenever you search them up. But personally, I get my news from nowhere. News stresses me out. I like to hide under a rock. People say things that are supposed to be common knowledge, and I just don't know.
A good way to see how reliable news articles are is to especially check the sources of where they get their information and the background of the author. At times, there are certainly, like Lucy was saying, you can find, you know, graphs and stuff of more reliable, more unbiased news sources. Like one of them, for example, is NPR, which I use to get my news a lot. And sometimes I listen to the radio here, KURU, and the various programs that are on there for news as well. But I think that also just checking a lot of different sources to sort of cross-vet information is a good way to
see what is and isn't accurate, and then you can make, you know, those judgments for yourself once you do that.
I don't think I really have too much to add other than basically reiterating what has already been said. For me personally, I also get my news mostly from like TikTok and other social media outlets, but I usually don't take that news to heart too much. If I really was interested in a news story, I would probably do some deeper research where I would look for, you know, the organization, what kind of website is it, .com, .gov, .edu, which I think is a little more prevalent in like scientific research, because not a lot of news outlets, I guess, are probably like .edu, but some of them are probably college-based ones, and checking for sources and authors and double-checking with other sources, that would be how you find the reliable.
Thank you for tuning in to New Earth Kids on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. I'm your host, Nan Franzblau, and today I'm visiting with a group of high school seniors at Aldo Leopold High School and their teacher, Pete Rankin, to discuss current events. Now, back to New Earth Kids.
Several of you mentioned that you're worried about the economy. Were you always worried about the economy, or has there been some recent shift that's made you more concerned? And what do you think should be done?
Hello, I'm Faith. I think that the economy for me has kind of been something I've worried about always, but even more so in the coming year, half a year. I definitely think everything has always been getting like more expensive. But I think with the implementation of unnecessary tariffs and the general lack of understanding of the public of how a tariff works is really concerning. And also, I think it's a lot of petty, I don't like this guy, so I'm going to do this, which is damaging to so many Americans and our economy as a whole. And it's great that some people who hold almost all of the money in America are like five people and that they can afford that, but the average American can't. And I think that one of the biggest issues is the wealth gap. I think it's absurd, and I just don't think that in any economy, in any world, anyone deserves that much more money than anyone else. And I think, you know, some people, you can say that people work harder than others, which is true, but at the same time, it's a lot of how they got there, the opportunities that arose from what, like, family they were born into, and the money they already had, you know, trust fund kids and stuff like that. And I definitely think that the wealth distribution is just, like, insane. It's like, if you look at a chart, it's actually, like, the most disheartening thing I've ever seen in my life. What we should be working on is balancing out our wealth gap rather than putting like 90% tariffs on random countries. Personal opinion. All right, well, who wants to go next? You go, Ethan.
Yeah, just about, I'm Ethan. So just about like those tariffs that have been imposed from Trump and the recent trade war between most countries like China and the US, it's really kind of scary looking at that, and especially with the 90-day reprieve that Trump had implemented and seeing the bounce back that a lot of the economy had from that. It's just kind of painting a picture that this, as if it wasn't already clear, that this administration has a lot more care for personal gain and the gain of the wealthy than for the general population. And back to kind of what Faith was saying about these billionaires who have claimed these monopolies, who are kind of these huge wealth sinks that kind of money just flows upwards into them. And there was a really fascinating graph that I saw just highlighting that no one in the world is working nearly 1,000 times harder than a family with a mom who's working 2 full-time jobs. That there's just no one. These billionaires absolutely have no claim to their wealth. And with the tax cuts that have been nearly constant and the continued pretty much just screwing over the American population with these tariffs, these tax cuts for the rich, it's just making a huge issue worse. And again, a tax war is only bad for the people who already have it bad.
What do you think could be done to, I mean, besides letting up on the tariffs and maybe undoing some of the stuff that's been done, what else can be done to improve the economy or improve the lives for working class families?
I think one way that we could help our economy with, like, for the average American would be to increase taxes on the people, the extra wealthy. I mean, they have already received tax cuts under Trump, which was completely unnecessary. But, I mean, I keep thinking back to when we were reading Democracy Awakening and, oh, but I'm Faith, by the way. So. There was one section of the book that was talking about, I cannot remember whose administration it was. It was right before Reagan, and I could do the math now, but I'm not going to stay here for like 2 seconds to figure that out. So it was, sorry, it was the president before Reagan imposed a lot of tax cuts on the wealthy. And some of the numbers were a little crazy. It was like the richest people were getting taxed like 70% of their income. But the average life of an American seems so much better. A household with a family, with a wife, a husband, two kids, and only the husband working could afford a house, a car, a dog, and to support two kids, which is completely unfathomable in this economy. I've seen some videos of like number crunching of how the difference in minimum wage now versus minimum wage in like the 80s has transferred. And it's only been like a 2.3 increase, but the housing market, the cost of houses has increased by like 8%. So that's a marginal difference. It's, you're sure, like the minimum wage went up a little, but it went up nothing in comparison to how expensive everything is now. So I think maybe imposing bigger taxes and, you know, filling that wealth gap would definitely benefit the average American as it previously has in history.
Great, thank you. So Sal brought up climate change, and let's talk about that. How does climate change impact us, and how do you think it might impact you in the future?
My name's Caesar. For me, climate change would impact me pretty severely because I plan on going into a biology field, and that's all animals. And unfortunately, climate change has the unfortunate effect of killing off a lot of species of animals that live in fragile environments. And the Gila is one of those environments that is really fragile and has a bunch of small micro ecosystems that climate change would destroy. So if climate change gets worse, I will have much less creatures to study.
My name's Jesse, and kind of similarly to Caesar, I'm planning on going into environmental studies. And so especially with like the current politics and climate change and how that all intertwines together, of it's a little daunting to go into a field like that of, you know, there's so much to fix and there's so many things to take into account. And it's kind of like biting off more than you can chew before you even start. But I think that it's a really important thing to go into, and I think that it's a really impactful thing to devote time and energy to.
Do you have a particular field of...
Mostly marine, and so a lot of advocation for like marine pollution and just marine biology in general.
All right, so I am Ethan, and I have worked with a very significant member of our community. His name is Mike Fugali, and his actions to prevent climate change have been extremely impactful, not only in just our local community, but on the world stage as a whole. I was able to meet up with Mike when he was talking with climate scientists from Germany, Germany, Switzerland, and I think one other Scandinavian country. I think it was Greenland. One of those. But that was a really informative just kind of moment that I shared with Mike. And one thing that I've actually been able to physically help Mike out with is his New Earth project down in San Vicente, where we are pretty much providing the necessary materials
to sequester carbon and actively try and prevent some facets of climate change.
My name is Zev. I plan to work in fire, probably do wildland fire before switching to city when I get older. And there's always going to be fire, but obviously climate change just exacerbates that, which means more work. But, you know, it's not ideal for anybody but the firefighters to have more work.
Still, certain conditions can make firefighting really dangerous.
Of course. Yeah, like windy like this, if there was a fire now, there'd be nothing to be able to do about it.
Yeah. How else will climate change affect you guys? Or, I know a lot of you were concerned about human rights. We talked about that at the very beginning. How is climate change related to social justice, and what problems might emerge?
I'm Jesse again. One of the most direct things that come to mind when I think about social justice and climate change is that the areas that are going to be affected by climate change first and most hard are the areas that don't have access to things like healthcare and just vital things that people need to survive. And so just the injustice of kind of the hierarchy and class system that we have.
So Ethan brought up possible solutions or paths to solutions. Do you guys have any other thoughts about what we can do as a community or as just people living on Earth? And can people change? I mean, what can we do?
Hi, my name is Faith. I think I'm not really too sure about as a community at the moment. I'm sure there's definitely things we can do, you know, like helping out with local seed banks or like the New Earth Project. But I think more globally, we can implement forms of renewable energy. I mean, we know all of these different forms of energy and we just like don't use them that much. We have some, you know, there's windmills and stuff all over, but there's no reason to not utilize like renewable energy sources in like over fossil fuels simply for like the price, when it probably wouldn't even actually cost that much more if they just didn't want to capitalize on it as much. Like, I think if business owners weren't trying to like make so much money, it probably wouldn't even actually be that much more expensive than fossil fuels. It just costs more to produce.
Hi, my name's Key. What I was thinking was we talk to our reps, we talk to the people who are representing ourselves and tell them what we need, what we want. Talk to our senators, talk to our representatives, all that, make sure that our voices are known.
I'm Caesar, and personally, I don't think there's too much we could do as a community, just because last I checked, a significant amount, more than half of all of the carbon footprint and pollution is done by much larger corporations. And so even if all of Silver City were to switch to green energy and renewable tactics, it wouldn't really amount to much if the larger corporations do nothing to change their destructive ways. So if we're gonna wanna change the effects that we're causing onto the planet, we're gonna have to start with the large corporations.
I'm Jesse, and I think another major way to like help combat all of these issues is to just educate people on it. I think that as lucky as we are, I feel in this community, a lot of us are educated and have strong opinions and want to help our community and also just the world. But I think that if more people understood and really just learned about climate change and our political stance and all of this, would really help.
Thank you for tuning in to New Earth Kids on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. I'm your host, Nan Franzblau, and today I'm visiting with a group of high school seniors at Aldo Leopold High School and their teacher, Pete Rankin, to discuss current events. Now, back to New Earth Kids.
A few of you mentioned what you plan to do after you graduate. I would love to know what others are doing and how the current political climate might affect your plans.
I'm Key. I'm planning to go to Western, and I'm currently on the board of LGBT Grant County. So with how everything is in this world, it's not looking good. And I'm planning to be do something with baking and with how everything's contributing with prices skyrocketing. That's kind of scary.
My name's Caesar, and immediately after high school, I will be going to WNMU to get my zoology degree so I could work as a field biologist and scientist. And things are looking kind of dim. The current president wants to censor scientific reports and make them fit certain criteria that would violate the freedom of information and freedom of press. So it makes it very difficult to be a scientist at these times because there are repercussions for not trying to fit that. And you could see even Oxford University has been fighting against that because they have records and they would have to be forced to change really old, already proven records. And as a field biologist specifically, we function off of grants by the government. And again, the current president really does not like giving grants to the Forest Service at all. Last presidency that he was in, he already cut a lot of funding. So the field biologists are working skeleton crews in New Mexico, four people. And then this presidency, he cut funding again. So I will be lucky if I can do anything this summer. And if it gets worse, they may be firing most of the field biologists because they simply don't have the money for it. And I'm really worried about my future job occupation, at least in these next 4 years.
Hi, this is Dee. I plan on going to UNM this next fall, and I'm going to study to be a paramedic. And I feel like society is going to get more dangerous, so calls will probably be more crazy and fighting over like political things. That's scary to think about. And just in general, healthcare has always been like a problem in the U.S., but it's going to get significantly worse probably. And, you know, I'm thinking like working in the emergency room might not be so good.
I'm Jesse, and I plan on double majoring in environmental studies and dance, which are two fields that are really being impacted by our presidency and our just political climate. We know everything that's happening environmentally, but with the arts and the whole like freedom of press, and it's almost like freedom of expression, I feel, of it's just in a decline. And so I'm a little scared of what that's going to look like and how accessible it's going to be to access the arts and things like that.
Hi, my name's Faith. I'm kind of going to go off of what Jesse said because I have a similar want. I want to go to UNM in the fall and study filmmaking and like movie production. And I think that's probably, it's definitely one of the most common arts that people, you know, you go home and watch TV, someone made that movie, someone made that production or whatever. But I think there's definitely a lot of suppression that could happen because it's very easy to speak out about political topics in movies and like media, whether it's directly by telling like a historical story relevant that's similar to what's happening in modern times, or whether it's a fictional story that is a metaphor or mirroring modern political statements. I think there's a risk of it being suppressed, but I also think that they wouldn't stop making all movies because people consume too much media for that. So
and what about the tariffs on movies? I mean, they're saying that the tariffs on movies from other countries will affect movie making in this country as well, because it's really a global industry.
Yeah, definitely.
Hi, I'm Lucy. I plan to go to Portland State University and do a fast track degree for radiology tech and then continue my healthcare education. I am a little worried about the healthcare industry as a whole. Our current president does plan to diminish the workforce by a quarter, which is a pretty significant amount, showing that our healthcare kind of is already problematic. And so last summer, I went to Johns Hopkins with about 500 other students from around the United States. And looking towards our future, it looked pretty bright. We had tons of opportunities and things that we were really looking forward to. And now as we all go in there and I talk to my friends from around the States, We all are really worried about our future and what it could intend and how we can pursue what we're very passionate about. So I would just say that we're hoping to go in as strong-minded as we can, but we don't really know what our future can entail, especially in these next coming years. So it's a little worrisome, but I think with the very prominent healthcare workers that are coming in newly anyways, there is a high hope in the future for good healthcare, and we just need to try and advocate for that.
What should the government's role be in healthcare, in the arts, in universities, in research? What do you think the government should be doing?
My name's Ev. If we look at countries like in Europe that we would consider more successful, but also more socialist, they get free healthcare. I think obviously that should be a thing in the U.S. I think as far as education goes, I mean, high school's free, which is good, but college in New Mexico is also free for residents. I think in more states that should be applicable. I think that it's really important to have an educated citizen base, especially in a democracy where we're all choosing our leadership. It's definitely important that the voter base be educated and have free healthcare.
I'm Ethan. So I think the role of government is to be a medium for funds to flow through. So like Zev was saying, allow colleges to gain government funding so that we don't have this kind of same situation that we're in now in the U.S. where going to college is hoping that you can offset the debt that you're going to amount with a high-paying career. And the goal of most governments, as I have said previously, is to be like a medium for funds to be flowing through and also just to kind of set up and support different institutions like healthcare so that they're not set out on their own to need to create kind of their own little bubble of safety that they can work around. That should be the government's role, to automatically kind of have a wide sweeping branch of support for all these institutions and whatnot.
I'm Key, and I feel like the government should be funding healthcare, should be funding colleges. From what I know, they're taking away some of the protective things for queer youth, as an example. They're removing the LGBTQ hotline. They're doing all this stuff to hurt people, and that's really, really not good for this community that has the highest death rate currently, like suicide rate. It's really sad.
I believe that the government should be by the people, for the people. It was founded just so we could have a set of professionals that knew what they were doing to help us, because at the end of the day, we're all from the same country, and it was made to serve us as their public servants. Realistically, I think, especially with the advances in technology, arts-wise, we should be in a renaissance. I mean, anyone can learn how to draw or paint now. You have hundreds of videos online from experts teaching you how to do all these cool arts, but it's not really encouraged. And I think they should encourage the arts. They should encourage the sciences. We have advances in technology. We have the ability to freely fact-check with all these qualified individuals, but it's still not encouraged to really delve into the scientific field in any sophisticated way. And then healthcare should obviously be free and good quality with the advances in technology and the fact that, you know, people who are sick are still U.S. citizens and people, human beings, they deserve the right to be treated so that they could live a long, happy life.
I came in today during Sal's presentation about courage and resistance, activism. Do you guys feel inspired by this class or by the knowledge that you have of what's happening to take any kind of action?
Personally, I feel like from taking this class, and I've also taken, I think, all 4 years I've taken a class from Pete, and I know that current events is a really big thing in all of those classes, and I feel pretty lucky to have been in a class where that's openly talked about and discussed and debated. I think it builds really strong thinkers, which is really important. And as of like things that we can do, I think that just continuing to talk about it and not be shy about these topics is one of the biggest things. And also just maybe not having an exact answer to that question, but looking for it is a good way to start.
This is Faith. This is my first year ever being in class with Pete, but I do really enjoy it. I feel like a much more confident individual in terms of my political knowledge after having taken this class, and part of it was government, which makes sense. But like Jesse said, talking about current political events makes me feel a little less in the dark, and I trust that what we talk about in class is usually a less biased version of political events, or at least if the bias is there, it is recognized and talked about. In terms of what we can do, I think we can encourage other people our age to think about politics as well. I think like a lot of young people don't really want to think about politics, or they don't know how to look for reliable sources, or they don't want to take the time to do so. So I think encouraging other young people to like branch out and really question politics in general and gain knowledge about even previous political events, history, political history, and things like that, so we can all have a better general understanding and support each other in our knowledge or lack of for political stuff.
This is Caesar. I think as a person, as an individual, the most I can really do is stand up for my respective fields and the needs that we are being denied. But I also think that we, as Faith said, we definitely should encourage the conversation and acknowledging of our political issues, because it's one of those things that gets, it's uncomfortable to talk about. It's a polarizing topic for some reason, which I really personally don't understand. So it's generally swept under the rug as something you don't talk about or debate. But I do not think it should be that. I think that there are political issues that shouldn't make you one side or the other, but should be debated as an individual with thinking capabilities and the ability to make decisions. And I think it should be encouraged, especially among the youth.
My name is Sal, and I guess connecting to what everyone else previously had just said, but a quote from my presentation that did stick out to me and I think is a very good aspect for this question asked was, courage does not mean not fearing or not grieving. It does mean recognizing and resisting terror management, even when most difficult to do so. And I believe right now is definitely one of the most difficult times to really stand for what is right, because there's a lot of people that don't recognize or acknowledge the truth of what's going on. That's just my take on it. I think resisting and the courage to stand your place on politics or, you know, climate change is just so very important right now.
I'm Key, and like Caesar said a bit ago, what we're doing with this class, we look at this stuff, we talk things out, we've had debates. For me, I look through it as a view of a non-binary person, and debating with the people, talking to people, that's been really helpful. And I'll say that it's really helped a lot gain confidence, like Faith said. And I'm going to state it again, talk to your representatives, talk to your senator, talk to whoever you can to get your point across.
You know, I think in the modern political spectrum, people get too tied up in these big national issues. And we shouldn't just kind of disregard those, but we can't always have an impact on these huge national issues. But where we can have a major impact is in these communities that we are in constant contact with. And you should never prioritize these national issues. You should never prioritize what is going on up in Washington, because you don't have that connection to Washington. You don't have this connection to all these other places around the country. Where you do have a connection is in your community, and that is where you can have the most impact. And the way that these dictatorships can always pop up, or have always popped up, is by infiltrating these communities and breaking down that communal structure by labeling your neighbors as pigs or as anything that makes them subhuman. That means that they are a person that you can steal from, and thus you don't trust them. And then you are more likely to be able to give in to that tyranny and forgo your best interests over a fear that does not actually exist.
What do you most want our listeners to know about your generation?
This is Lucy. I feel like we kind of get looked on like we don't know as much as we do. I feel, at least in throughout my class, I feel like we are very knowledgeable on the aspects of what we're going into in life, more so than other people our age, which we're, since we're in this class and we have the ability to have this extra knowledge and stuff like that, it kind of sets us up for a better pathway in life. And so I would want our listeners to know that we are more knowledgeable than people tend to see, I guess you could say, and just that there could be, that there's definitely hope in the future.
Another thing is, I see a lot of people get frustrated with, you know, kids in our generation, and I get it. We grew up in an entirely different world, almost, than most of the older people, the elderly. But you just got to understand that we're just ignorant, you know. We're young. We don't know that much about the world. And you got to have patience with us when it comes to things that we don't know about. We grew up differently, so please have patience. We're trying our best.
This is Faith. I would also say, maybe just be a little generous with our generation. That's kind of funny. We are definitely, like, we grew up in a different time. We've had many different problems than previous generations. Many different threats of like online catfishing, getting kidnapped, all that kind of stuff. So we've lived with different things, little fears and stuff. But I would also just say, like, be understanding that, you know, we're not necessarily going into the best economy, and it's not that people our age don't want to work. They do work, but it's a little discouraging when you know that you're probably going to be living paycheck to paycheck, and it doesn't feel like you're saving your money for anything because you're living off all of your money. You don't have any to save, so it doesn't feel like you're working towards any goal. So if you see young people discouraged, just give them a little grace, and we will work harder than you think.
Okay. This is Dee. I just want the listeners to know that we think about these problems. We've discussed it, like specifically my class. We discuss these problems all the time in my friend group, families. We discuss this. So we're trying to get educated, and you just need to be patient with us. And then you also need to put your trust in this future generation. You have to know that we will one day understand and get through it.
I would just say about our generation is just to take our issues and concerns seriously. I've seen a lot of people be really dismissive of the problems of young people and think that we're being too sensitive or we're over-exaggerating. And people need to take what we say seriously and listen to us about what we think is important in the world and not be dismissive of us just because we've live different experiences and have had less life experiences. But just because we haven't been alive for as long or maybe experienced less doesn't mean that we're not as capable or what we have experienced is any less real to us than it is for issues in past generations.
Okay, well, great. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate you sharing all your thoughts with us. I completely trust you, and you do give me hope for the future. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Pete Rankin, for having this class and facilitating all of these discussions. Yeah, I'm glad I got to come
visit. Thank you, Nan and GMCR, for the amazing space you hold in our community and keeping Free Press alive. And I know this station is a inspiration for many of us. That's why I support GMCR. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. We'd like to thank the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and their program, Thinking on a Mountain, for sponsoring this show. We would also like to recognize KURU General Manager Marcus Hansen for his ongoing support. May we all continue to listen, learn, and grow together. Bye now.